Okay. The truth is, I want to start one line before that paragraph. I want to recap what we've been discussing for the last long time. And the Chavis Alvavis, we elaborated on his very, very profound discussion on understanding our reality in this world and understanding the goals that we're here for. We will, once again, I'm sorry, recap very briefly. We're here to get back to our original state. We were created as neshamas, as the greatest being that Hashem created. He sent us into this world in order to get to the highest place we can be. In order to get to the highest place we can be. Oh. Okay. Yeah. And for that reason, as we're going to see momentarily, he gave us this weird thing called a body. And so we'll understand it a little bit more. That is what enables us to do that role. What are we supposed to do once we have this body kind of tacked onto us? So basically three things. And this is what we discussed at very great length. And I will try to do it briefly. Number one, perfection of mind. We want to gain that clarity of vision to be living with the awareness that Hashem wants. Primarily, this means that sensory awareness of living with His presence, living aware of Him, and all of the offshoots that branches into very, very, when it turns into something real, something sustained, it branches into very many things, including awe, fear of angering Him, love, trust, and everything else we've been discussing, the Chavis Alvavis, are all offshoots, consequences of a very sensory awareness of Him. And that's goal number one, to develop that awareness to the greatest extent that we can. And that's a lifetime career, always being enhanced. Number two is, as we discussed, and again, I'm switching the order just for convenience purpose. Number three is perfection of character that we discussed. The body comes with all kinds of dampeners and things that get in the way of where we're really supposed to be in the form of negative, I shouldn't say negative, in the form of various urges, character traits that are really foreign entities that are there for the purpose of us clearing them out of the way. So laziness, anger, lust, all of what we call the midas, are there for us to perfect them. Here we want to turn ourselves into a person who is in a state where all of his character traits, all of his urges are harnessed into, they're all exactly where they should be, under the control of the person's seichel, and utilized, unleashed, where they serve Hashem's purposes. In other words, if we put it in a different way that we discussed at length back then when we were talking about halacha in this context, we want to be the disciplined soldier who has all of the many forces operating inside me. I have all of them under control, and they are allowed to function when I decide, not when they decide, when I decide in the service of Hashem. So I turn myself into that disciplined soldier, ready to do whatever is needed and ready to not do whenever that's needed. Control over everything going on inside of me. That was number two. We're calling that perfection of character. And number three was, which kind of brings this together, was living with what we called at the time, Bechira mentality. Living with the awareness that, in terms of these goals, Hashem is constantly providing, whether in terms of your general life circumstances, whether in terms of your current reality, Hashem is constantly sending things your way for you to deal with. And the goal here is to be living with a mentality of what's the challenge at this moment? What's the call at this moment? Where's the opportunity for growth at this moment? So I want to, you know, I'll supplement that with a very beautiful explanation of the pasuk that says, just now from Kabbalah Sotera, it says, "Im shamaya tishmu b'kali u'shmartem es brisi." Right, when Hashem is making his proposition to our people, he says, if you will listen to my voice and keep my covenant. Keeping my covenant means what? It means keeping the Torah. What, in addition to that, is listening to my voice? So, what are the two? Right? Is listening to my voice and keeping the Torah. What are the two? So, I forget if it's the Or HaChaim or the Kli Yoker. One of the Mefarshim says a very, very profound point. He says, the Torah is the instructions, the general instructions of how to go through life. But listening to my voice is the understanding that Hashem's voice is always being leveled at you in some way or the other. In every given circumstances in life, to be able to hear the voice, what is Hashem asking of me now? How does he want me to apply his Torah right now? Right? Just to give a very a coarse example. Say you decided, went to a shir on tefillah, and you realize that these days, with everything going on, really have to put efforts into tefillah. And, okay, you decide tomorrow morning, you're going to clear everything out of your schedule. You're going to set it up such that at 10:30 in the morning, I'm just going to have everything out of the way and be able to really sink my teeth into a good, heartfelt tefillah. Ready, inspired, and you start moving in that direction. You start moving in that direction. Okay. And then, all of a sudden, exactly at, you know, as you sit down, you open up the siddur, there's a knock at the door, right? And the neighbor tells you that the plumbing that's connected to your apartment burst, that his apartment is being flooded now, and they really need you to get involved. Really need you to get involved. So the feeling is, all my plans went down the drain, and how are you going to respond now? Well, what's actually going on is, Hashem is saying, kol hakavod, you made that plan. You have to be attuned to the call. You have to be attuned to the call. Hashem is saying, kol hakavod, you made that plan. I give you a lot of credit for that. But you know what? I actually have something different in mind to you right now. I want to test you. You thought that today's avodah was going to be dedicated to tefillah. But I'm asking you to change the program. I have a different program for you, and I know better, right? It's going to be an avodah of acceptance, okay, of patience, being ready to bear with it, right? And of chesed. Instead, I want to go with your program or mine? And your program is not going to work anyways because the mice of the water is flooding in over there, right? The question is, do you want to fret about your program or do you want to work with my program? That's the Shamaya Tishmu B'Kayu. Can you hear the call at any given moment of what Hashem is demanding of you now? And that's what we're calling the Bechira mentality. You want to spend your life mapping a plan of growth. Very, very fundamental. Perfection of mind, perfection of character. These should be programs that you are working on, that you're planning, etc. But at the same time, the realization that every moment of the day, Hashem is providing you with different things that he wants of you. And to be attuned to that, to be attuned to that. Don't tune out. Now that you know his Torah, don't say, okay, now I'm going to take the ball and run with it and tune him out. He's still there. He's still there giving you his call at any given moment. So that's the last one. The goal is to be living, again, what we're calling the Bechira mentality, living with a focus of how to identify in any given situation, what is the call now? What's the challenge now? What's the opportunity for growth now?
I just want to tell a story that just comes back to me again and again. There was a chassid who wanted to really have kavana for lighting the Hanukkah, okay? And he put a lot of effort into learning so that he would have the proper kavana. And he goes to light the Hanukkah and his kids are bickering. And the same thing happens the next night. So he goes to his Rebbe, he says, Rebbe, I just feel like a failure. I'm so disappointed. What am I supposed to do? I put all this work into these kavanas, but I have to deal with bickering kids. And the Rebbe said, what Hashem wants from you is patience for dealing with your bickering kids, not kavana and lighting the Hanukkah.
That's exactly it. That's perfect. And I think anybody raising a family, right? If it's the Shabbos table, if it's the, right? That's exactly the point. And you know what? I'll add a point to that. That's why, you know, sometimes, you know, a person might feel like, this is something, I don't know how much women struggle with this, probably in their own ways also, but like particularly for men, conscientious man coming out of yeshiva really wants to grow in his Torah learning. So, you know, they're kind of like, you know, you have a bachur who really got far in yeshiva and he's ready to get married now. So it's kind of like, ah, all I need is an admiring wife at my side and I'm ready to fly high, right? It's all there. Good ladorship is just right ahead of me right now, right? And all of a sudden, you know, you start realizing that it's not as simple as an yeshiva, right? I'm not just talking about the relationship. That already, you know, one of the great Rosh Hashivas said, I forgot who it was. You have to realize that a wife is not a shtender. But I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about life comes with responsibilities. Life comes with distractions. And then you know what? Also, you know, as a bachur planning your life, you're picturing your Shabbos table. I'm sure you were talking about picturing all the kids sitting around the table, listening, mesmerized, you know, giving all the beautiful ideas, right? And you know what? They have other agendas. They have other plans. And you think to yourself, so what? Oh, we got a comment here that this was Rav Shach's shtender. That's right. That rings true. Rav Shach was the one who said that about the shtender. a wife is not a shtender. So you wonder why Hashem set it up this way. You know, there should be, okay, a certain amount of people who get married and raise families, and the other people who are dedicating themselves. Well, this is exactly the point. Hashem says, no. It's true. I have a complex program for you. I want you to be working on a lot of different things, and I want you to be juggling that challenge. And that's why, yes, it's a value to raise a large family and then to deal with the challenges. You know what? If sometimes you feel you just can't, so lower your head and say, my abilities are limited. Again, back as a bacher or as a seminary girl, I thought that, you know, I'm going to fly high. And all of a sudden I'm realizing maybe I'm perhaps a little smaller than I thought. You know what? That's an achievement in itself. If you turn to Hashem and you say, I don't know how I'm supposed to do this. There's so much to juggle. And you say, my abilities are limited. Wow, that's a hatzlacha. You realize that also. That's humility. It's part of the purpose of feeling like it's just too much to handle. Let's turn it into that. Don't just fret. This is all mamish, this avodah that we're talking about, of what we keep calling the Bechira mentality, right? Choosing to see there is no situation for, we mentioned, right? There's no situation where the growing Jew is suddenly stopped until after a person's dead. Up till then, even death itself, every single situation for the growing Jew, nothing can hold him back. All opportunities for growth, everything. Everything is a test, and everything is an opportunity. Tranquility is a test. Let's hope that at this point, the fighting is behind us right now. Rachmana Litzlan, we had some tragedies behind us now. Corona behind us. Eretz Yisrael is able to say that. A lot of the world can't say that, right? But if we can realize that now, don't say, okay, now it's back to good old life. Realize that this also is a test. We're moving ahead a step into the Nisayan now of things being quiet. That's also something that has to be utilized for growth. But the challenges too, everything. Rachmana Litzlan, illness, being imprisoned, even being killed. For the Jew who's thinking of things right, these are all opportunities for growth. Nothing can hold him back. Oh, you just told me recently that the Balatanya was in jail. Balatanya was in prison. And he made the point that he said, they couldn't lock me up. I mean, they locked the door. But whatever I was busy doing outside of prison, I did exactly the same thing. It was mainly internal work, tefillah, right? It said, all of my avoida that I did at home, I did here too. They couldn't stop me. Okay. So there, how's that for a brief recap? It was, because it was about 6 weeks. Okay. But now, before we move on, I want to read this last sentence, because this is something that also deserves its own elaboration. So, what we were told, that we were put into this world to achieve these goals, the goals that we just discussed, right? That perfection of mind, choosing Hashem's service, perfection of mind, meaning gaining that clarity of Hashem, perfection of character, living a life of choosing the opportunities that Hashem provides us with. And he says, this was not possible. You could not do this while you were still in your original state. Original state is what? Original state is a very, very great ruchniyistic being. As the greatest ruchniyistic being that exists, we discussed that that's what the neshama, the nishmas Yisrael is. You couldn't achieve this as that. And here's a fundamental point. This is understanding the great function of the guf, of where the guf comes in. We discussed in this shir the understanding of the term Adam, Adam miha Adama. If we discuss that, we'll discuss that. It doesn't sound familiar. So let's discuss this briefly. Adam is called Adam, right? That's man. The truth is that that's the greatest name for man. There are a bunch of different names for man. It's Adam, Enosh, Ish, Gever, right? The greatest term is Adam. Adam is from the term Adama, taken from the earth. It also has a connotation of Adam Ele Elyon, I will be like the Supreme. Why is Adam called Adama? You look around, there's plenty of things that are Mino Adama. Cats are Mino Adama, right? Insects are Mino Adama. Everything is Mino Adama. Trees. Why Adam? And the answer, this is something very important to understand, that it's pretty much exactly the opposite. The way I think of it is like this. All of us are Anglos, right? Where are you more likely to be identified as an Anglo? Here or where you came from? In England, in America. In America, nobody's going to say, oh, there's an American. It's here that they'll say, oh, there's an American, right? So if I call you an American, it actually punctuates the fact that you are not in your original setting, right? In America, nobody's going to identify you as an American. So if I say, oh, there's an American, it's punctuating the fact that you are not in that regular place. Oh, someone found us, I hope. It wasn't. Oh, Agutavach, did you have a hard time figuring it out? Oh, I'm sorry, I apologize. We sent out a last minute notice. I'm sorry. Okay. We're in the middle of discussing why man is called Adam, Al Shem Adama, when actually everything on earth is Adama. So again, the idea is that, yeah, like we said, let's say if you're an American and you are said, you hear somebody saying, hey, there's an American, it's a sign that you're not in America, right? Following the point here? We are called Adam actually emphasizes the fact that we are not Adam, that it's not really our place. Our place is in the highest of spheres. We come from the highest of places. And the fact that we have Adama to us is a novelty because none of the other great heavenly beings have any Adama to them. Anything that has Adama, anything that has earth to it is something earthly. It's a cat, we said before. It's a dog. It's a tree. That's what Adama is. But as ruchniyistic beings were identified, oh, that's the very unique being that actually has an element of Adama to it. It's the only one. There's no other being that has this level of ruchnius along with being something gashmi. And that's what makes man stand out among the ruchniyistic beings, the upper beings, and also among the lower beings, because nobody else has that combination. And the idea is exactly the point he's making here. Man, as the greatest of all beings, was given that role of, Hashem says, can I plunge you into a gashmiyistic world? And you'll be able to reconnect with me in the ways that we're discussing here, For that, Hashem took the greatest being and clumped on him this Adama that all of a sudden dims all of his senses. And all of a sudden makes it, as a neshama up in the upper world, the clarity of Hashem is the clearest thing it could possibly be. It permeates everything. Right? The malachim, right? We talked about this. Billions of malachim who are just, it's described as they are shaking and they're sweating rivers of fire. That's how it's discussed. Whatever that means. Because of their awe of being in the presence of Hashem. So Hashem did something to all of a sudden take that awareness down. Something unthinkable, right? All of a sudden clumps on this Adama and it's not as clear. But Hashem did it to the perfect balance. This is the point that the Maharal makes. Hashem to the perfect balance that on the one hand, all of a sudden it's so dimmed. But on the other hand, it didn't do it to an extent that that's it, it's knocked out. Still there faintly. And your job is to remain connected with it, to connect with it, to remain connected with it, to clear away all of that thick earthliness that is dimming it, that's clouding it. That's the major function. This is why he says, without that gift called the body, we could never do this function. We can never do this function, which ultimately is what gets us to the greatest place there is. I'll just ask a question. We're going a little bit too far here, but why do it have to be that way? Woman, if we were made as the greatest spiritual beings that there are, closest to Hashem, which means that before we came down here, this is what it says in this farm, before we came down here, we were enjoying basking in the presence of Hashem, which is really what Olam Haba is. So why do we have to come down here? Why go through this process? So I'm going to say how the Ramchal says it. This is something to appreciate. This is something to understand. Again, Hashem created all of existence for chesed, to provide kindliness. He did that to very many levels. Cats are enjoying, coming back to cats. I guess that's what you see besides Adam, that's what you most encounter. Cats are enjoying chesed Hashem. Flies are enjoying chesed Hashem. Humans are enjoying chesed Hashem. But Hashem made it at very different degrees. And then there's the one bria that's there, kiviyachol, for the greatest level of Hashem's chesed. And that is, once again, the neshama of the Jew. The neshama is made with the capacity to really connect with Hashem and get the full effect by being bound up with Hashem. But you know what? In order for it to get that, again, what is the source of that pleasure? The source of that pleasure is Hashem. The more tightly the neshama is bound up with Hashem, the more it gets that pleasure. In order to be bound up tightly with Hashem, it has to be compatible, so to speak, with Hashem. I mean, any area where its existence is kind of like clashes with what Hashem is, it doesn't connect as well. This is a little abstract. I won't spend much more time on it, but I want to make this point. It's something important to understand. And that's why, kiviyachol, we are chelek elikami mal. I imagine that you know the basic translation of those words. If not, please let me know. But the term chelek elikami, because I prefer not to translate it because I don't want to presume to really understand it. But the term chelek elikami mal, right? Because when Hashem wants to give the ultimate, He made us as doimet to Him, more doimet to Him than anything else, so that we can simply adhere to Him and get the full effect. But you know what? There's one problem with the neshama as is, which kiviyachol, it's not for Hashem to resolve that problem, because the problem is that, you know, one of Hashem's most obvious character aspects is, attributes is, that He's never on the receiving end. Hashem is never on the receiving end, right? No such thing as Hashem being on the receiving end. So if Hashem created this neshama to get His goodness, and the neshama simply gets that goodness, that's already something that makes it very different from Hashem, to an extent that makes it hard to really attach in the full way that it could. How do we solve that problem? That the neshama should get...
What's the problem? I don't see a problem.
If the neshama is created and is simply on the receiving end, then it's already very dissimilar from Hashem, because Hashem is never on the receiving end. Hashem is the ultimate giver. Uh-huh. Right? So how do we solve that problem? How do we create a reality where the Neshama is getting all that goodness, but it's not on the receiving end? So you know what Hashem said? Hashem said, I'm going to stick a body onto you. You have to go reconnect to me through that body, and then you created that connection to me. You are the one who created that goodness now. See, the ultimate chesed of Hashem, you're not following this?
Yeah.
I'm going to repeat it again. The ultimate chesed of Hashem was not just that he wants to give, but he wants us to be the ones who created that reality. Not that we're just getting it from him for free. If we're getting it from him for free, that will already compromise who we are. It will compromise our connection to him, because Hashem never gets anything for free. Hashem is never on the receiving end. But Kiviyachol, Hashem says, if you can go there and Kiviyachol, serve me, Kiviyachol, do for me. But more, you create the connection to me. I'm creating that very, very great neshama, but I'm giving you the role to actually create that connection to me. How do I do that? Again, I tack on that body. You have to dig through the grime that body creates that separates between you and me, and you connect to me. Now you created the connection to me, and now you'll be able, now there already isn't that distance. Now you're already, so to speak, not on the receiving end. The truth is, we still say on the receiving end, because he set up this whole system. You can't get away from that. But part of what we received, and then again, yeah, we're not going to be Hashem. But part of what we received was the opportunity to be the ones creating it, creating that goodness, and in that way, making ourselves even more kiviyachol, doimet Hashem. Okay with that, or is that a little bit too? Do that again? Do that again. Hashem is the creator of all good, right? To whatever extent we are simply receiving good, we are dissimilar. It's a lack of being doimet Hashem. The more dissimilar we are, the more that will compromise our connection with him, because Hashem wants to mamish bind us up with him. The less there is differentiating between us and him, the more profound that connection will be, right? And therefore Hashem wants to manipulate a situation where, not that we receive the connection with him just, and we're on the receiving end just getting it for free, where we actually, you could say earn it if we want to keep it simpler, but we're actually creating that connection. And in that sense, kiviyachol, we are the creators of the connection with him. Once we're the ones creating that goodness for ourselves, so we're that much more doimed to him. We're the creators of it. We're not just receiving it for free.
So why do you need angels? They get everything for free. What do they do?
Angels are not as great as the Nishmas Yisrael. Angels are there. Oh, so that's a complex discussion. But first, you know what? We'll give that a moment to Bli Nether. But first, let's just bring home this point. Please, again, speak up if this isn't clear. Also speak up if you figure, let's just move on. But this is the point to understand, that Hashem gave us this role. He gave us a body. The Neshama is a perfect being. The Neshama has everything perfectly clear. The Neshama is greater than the Malachim. The Malachim are what he described before. They're the most disciplined soldiers of Hashem, who are simply capable of performing his will without any inhibition, like the speed of lightning. And that's what we are. So Hashem clumped on us something that dims all that, but to the perfect balance, it still enables us to dims it, but doesn't completely blot it out. It's still there faintly, and we can still reach for it. We can still connect with it. And if we do that, and we created the connection with him, we created that connection. We're not just getting it for free. We're not getting it for free. We created it. And that kiviyachol makes us that much more doimed to him. And once we did that, then that closeness between Hashem and us has reached the top levels that it can. And then we get the full benefit of being bound up with him. Now, if so, what about Malachim? Okay, so Ad Kan, okay? If so, what about Malachim? The truth is, again, Malachim are not that. That's why, again, we have to appreciate that for whatever reason, Hashem decided to give each of us individually that privilege. We are part of the greatest sector of existence of beings that Hashem created, those who are given the ultimate opportunity of getting close with Him. Why? Can't explain why. Just be overwhelmed with gratitude. That's all. But so where did the Malachim come into play? So really, that's beyond me. But I'll just say in a very general way that Hashem set this world up to run according to systems. Part of that is that the things that He wants implemented in this world go through various channels, which are called Malachim. It's a very, very complex system, more complex than any human can fully encompass. Why did He do it that way? I can't explain to the full extent. All we could say in a very brief way is that the Ramchal says that, for example, the concept of a heavenly court, right, which is also in the realm of angels, it has prosecutors, it has advocates. Why all that? Hashem knows exactly what happened, and the judgment can be automatic and instantaneous. So, but no, Hashem wants to operate through these systems. This is all part of the reality He created. He wants to be operating through these systems. He wants there to be, so to speak, things that are in between, that He channels them through them in order to get them down into our world in the way He wants to do it. One reason for that is, and they were just touching on it in a basic way, which is what emerges from Ramchal and Derech Hashem, is that, you know what, He actually wanted to give us the opportunity of interfering with the system. That's part of the idea. There's judgment, but the judgment, no, Hashem doesn't automatically decide it. Hashem waits for the prosecutor to prosecute. And the prosecutor is only allowed to do that at certain times. As long as he doesn't, as long as he can't, Hashem doesn't judge. Why? Because Hashem said, I only do it according to the system. And here Hashem tells us, you know what? I'm giving you some tips as to how to shut the prosecutor up. And then according to the systems I set up, there's no room for punishment because I said that it should only work with prosecution. So there's a lot of complexity to it. Can't fully explain it. But that's in a general way. Whatever it is, what we want out of all this is to appreciate the role of the body, the role of the physicality that Hashem imposed on us. That's what makes us so unique, as again, that Adama, the Adam, that greatest spiritual being that is not bogged down. It's the only one of spiritual beings that's bogged down with this physicality. And that's all there for the role of enabling it to do that role that no other being is given. The role that's given only to the Neshama of the Yisrael. So here, yeah, we went beyond our usual scope. But let's ground ourselves now in the literal sense, right? That's what we're talking about now, being grounded in the physical body. So Hashem gave us this body for these roles. Now, so He gave us this body and He set up a whole reality around that body that's all there for the purpose of that role. That role is the purpose of creation, because ultimately the purpose of creation was that He wanted to have a people who are going to be that close with Him as they possibly could be. And that is achieved through the body, but the body has to be in the setting that enables it to do that role. That setting is called, well, you could say earth, or you could also say the universe. That's why there's a universe. Hashem structured the universe around that person, around that Yisrael, in order to provide him with the setting within which to operate. So therefore, Mechochmas HaBoyre Yisale, in His great wisdom, Bara Lach HaOlam HaZeh B'chol HaShor Boy, He created this world that's revolving around you, Mikoyfe V'Tzoneach V'Chai, with all of its minerals, all the inanimate matter, all plant life, it's all of life. I'll say them mitukam v'anhoga nechayna, in a perfectly balanced system, perfectly orchestrated system. V'akol mitukam letoy altich. It's all there for your benefit. Meaning, the whole world is there, revolving around your mission. It's what helps define your mission. It provides you with the means of doing your mission. It provides you with the challenges that also define your mission. All that is there for you. Every last being is there for that. That's why there are moths. That's why there are, I don't know, a type of spider that only exists deep in the jungle of Africa. It's all there to create that perfect, it's called ecosystem, but that's just one way of saying it, one aspect of it. It's all there to provide us with the arena that we operate in. That also deserves more elaboration, but we'll stop with that for now. And now, if anybody has any questions on this or in general, and then we'll end for this week.
I would just say that the Rav always used to, Rav Milinovitz, always used to use the analogy of a car windshield that got splattered with mud, and that our job is to be like the windshield wiper and clean. Like the body is the mud on the windshield, and our job is to clean off the window so that we can see clearly.
Oh, very good. That's a very geschmacky example.
Yeah.
I'll repeat that. But yeah, when we talk about the various character traits and the various aspects of the physicality of the body, it's mamish what it's like. You have a window, sun shines through it, right? But if it's all covered with grime, the sun can't shine through. And we're there to scrub away that grime in order to allow the sun to shine through it in its full glory. So yeah, anything about the ego, anything, any aspects of, like we said before, let's say pride, lust, anger, laziness that get in the way of us just doing that function, it's grime that's there for us to scrub away. But the grime was put there deliberately, and that's the point. Because our job is that function of scrubbing it away and allowing the sun to shine forth. Yashar koach. Yashar koach for sharing that. Good to vach rabbi say. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Good to you.